Good evening. Please stand as we sing number 305, Praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He'll carry them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly, suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Crown Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, let the sinners ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Love and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
I guess if you're missing something, maybe this. I found one on my van Wednesday night after church, and I found one again this morning. So now I have two. So thank you for those of you that can't read because you're blind like me. It says, "Please be patient, learner, driver." So I had one on the back end of my van Wednesday, and then I found one this morning on the side. So if you're missing these for a dollar, I'll sell them back to you. If not, I'll just keep them because they might come in handy someday. But for those, whoever it was that, again, you probably haven't even seen me drive, because I'm a very good driver when I read. I mean, I'm a very good driver when I drive. So, but if you are missing it and need it back, because if you're learning to drive and really do need this, I've got it for you. Good to see you back tonight. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we ask you to bless again this evening. Thank you for the ones that got saved this morning. Pray, Lord, that you just bless tonight, touch hearts, and work on everybody here and speak to us through preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Whoever did that, that was funny right there. I applaud you. Anyway, 308, Our Best.
Hear ye the Master's call. Give me your best. For be it great or small, that is the test.
Figured out it was probably the large lad in the back that put those bumper stickers on my car.
Oh no, but I wish I did.
Maybe it wasn't. All right, if you have a prayer list, now we changed it some this morning because there's stuff that went on this week and I haven't changed it. I will change it again this week. I didn't mention this morning because I didn't want to have to go in. I try not to take any of the preacher's time. I don't have to, but most of you already called. I know who's going, so if I've already talked to you and I know you're going, that's not a problem. We'll meet at main event. Don't stop. Don't drop the kids off here or drop yourself off here. Main event's just right over here off of 151 Access Road, and we start there at 5:30. We'll go till 9:30. It costs us $20. We're charging you $10. I have money in the youth fund that will cover the other half. So, again, if you would like to come, whether you're adult or teen or have little kids, we have whole families that go. There is laser quest, gravity ropes, bowling, shooting pool, and then you get two pieces of pizza, drinks for the night, and a $10 card to play the video games and things like that. Yes. Yeah, Mom and Dad and Les, now, again, if you have kids that's fairly close to the teenage and will see me, and I, because I don't have that many teenagers watching anymore, as long as I agreed to take care of your kids, I'll be glad to do that. But I do a lot of running around trying to keep an eye on everybody. Also, ladies, if you're going to be up on the gravity ropes, make sure you take some rubber bands so you can stick around the end of your culottes and stuff because you are up in the air. So please take care of that. Stella said thank you to all the folks that attended, that cooked, that decorated, speaking and setting up. She said it was a real blessing to everybody, so thank you for that. The Fiesta papers are out on the hallway. Ours starts on a Friday night. That's the first night at the booth. We will be at the booth one night, Freedom's the other night, and so we alternate nights at the booth. And we have the soul winning booth in the middle of the carnival area. So it's an area where there's a lot of families and stuff, and it makes it where they can't stop us. They fuss at us every year for passing out tracts and things, try to tell us that they've rented the sidewalk and rented the city and rented the streets, but they can't fuss at us when we're in there because we pay for a booth. And then we pass out tracts and witness, and always have many, many people saved in there. Starts on Friday, goes through from the 20th through the 30th of April, and the 28th is the Parade of Flowers. As I said, there's a sign-up sheet out in the hallway. We have a lady that needs an apartment, 1 to 2 bedroom or a house. If you know of one for rent, let me know. Also, I mentioned this morning about Mrs. Garcia. Michael is going to he's the only one used to. Him and his wife was taking care of Grandma Garcia. But after she died, it's just Michael. And so, and that has just been recently for most of you that have been praying for Michael and his family. But he is going on a retreat and ask if one of our church members that know Miss Garcia might be able to take her in for a couple days to take her to your place and keep her. Let me know if you can do that. I'll give you the dates. It's in May. And if we can do that, it would be a big blessing to Michael. He doesn't have a side plan. So because Ms. Garcia knows most of our folks really well, he asked that if anyone might be able to help out with that. So if you can, let me know. And again, don't forget the normal stuff going on this week. Monday is an exception to the rule. Wednesday at 7:30. Thursday, soul win at 6:45. Saturday, bus visitation at 9:30. Soul win at 10:45. Then back in your place for Sunday school and church. Good to see you all back tonight.
Please stand as we sing number 321, Sound the Battle Cry.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon His holy word. Rouse and soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse and soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful once again for this opportunity to be here this evening, Lord. And as always, we're just so grateful we have an opportunity to give and pray that this offering might help meet the need of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now be singing Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, number 317.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy fold prepare. Precious Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on the way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, for we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Hello. You're not against being happy, are you? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy. So if you're not against being happy, that's a good bit of advice. Revelation chapter 12 again tonight. And we are dealing with the end time events, the prophetic events. And we're now at the midway point of the 70th week of Daniel, the Great Tribulation, and we're going to look at something a little bit unusual for me to deal with, but it's right here, so we're going to deal with it. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. These verses tell us, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." He said there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Michael, very simply, that's my subject tonight, Michael. Father, now, please help me tonight. I want to be accurate, and I'm going to try to teach the Bible about this great personage, and I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will grant me this. I pray that you'll make the Word of God a blessing to your people and maybe teach some things. And if there's anyone with us tonight who doesn't know Christ as Savior, we pray that you'll draw them to the Savior and give them the courage and conviction to come and trust Him tonight. Thank you for the one that was saved this morning. And we do pray for your help and blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 12 contains John's vision, which concerns the hatred of the devil for Israel due to the fact that the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Redeemer, was brought forth as to his humanity by Israel. And the devil's hatred for Israel will result in terrible and awful persecution being poured out on Israel, especially during the final 3.5 years of the tribulation period, just prior to the time when the Lord Jesus returns to this earth to set up his kingdom. This is essentially what John tells us about here in Revelation chapter 12. Now, in telling us of this vision, John describes a great battle in the spiritual realm between the devil and his angels on the one hand and Michael and his angels on the other hand. And so, our study tonight will focus on this great angelic being referred to as Michael. And so, the first thing to which I call your attention is a personage revealed. Now, if you want to know about Michael, this is the time to listen, because this first point, I'm going to give you several things in connection with it to explain who this personage is. A personage revealed. The leader of God's angels in this battle against the devil and his angels is called Michael. Now, this particular angelic being, Michael, is mentioned by name 5 times in the Bible in 4 different chapters in 3 different books. Now, as we'll see in a moment, he may be referred to and alluded to in other places in the Bible without his name being mentioned, but he's mentioned by name 5 times. We find him spoken of by name in Daniel chapter 10 twice, in Daniel chapter 12, in the book of Jude, and here in Revelation chapter 12. Now, let's investigate what the Bible tells us about this personage and see what is revealed about him. Number one, he's one of only 2 or 3, depending on how you look at it, angels whose names are given in the Bible. Now, in the book of Daniel and in the book of Luke, we find an angel whose name is given as Gabriel. In Isaiah chapter 14, we learn that the name of Satan, before he sinned and became Satan or the devil, back when he was a good angel, the anointed cherub that covereth, his name was Lucifer. And then we have this angelic being that we're discussing tonight mentioned 5 times in the Bible as Michael. Now, these are the only ones of God's angels who are named in the Bible. Sometimes we find names given to certain demons or fallen angels. For example, remember Legion? The fellow had all these demons, and Jesus said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Our name's Legion, for we're many." And so sometimes you have things like that where a demon or a fallen angel is given by name. But as far as the good angels are concerned, only these that we've mentioned are named in the Bible. Now, the name Michael is a significant name. It means who is like God or he is like God. This name indicates the awe in which this angelic being holds the God of heaven, and also the similarity and likeness of God that is reflected in this glorious being. And so, number two, he is called a chief prince and an archangel in the Bible. Look back in your Bible to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 10. And here Daniel's telling us about he had been praying for 3 weeks, and after 3 weeks the angel came to answer his prayer. And so he's telling about this in Daniel chapter 10. And the angel that came with the answer to his prayer is talking, and this angel says, he mentions in verse 12 that, "Daniel, from when you first started praying, I was dispatched by the Lord to come answer your prayer." But then he says this in verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Now, that's not a human prince. That is an angelic, a fallen angelic prince, a principality. But then he said, "But lo, Michael," now notice the description, "one of the chief princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." And one of the chief princes, look down in the same chapter to verse 21, this angel continues and says, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael," notice, "your prince." Then turn the page and look at Daniel chapter 12 and notice verse 1. "And at that time," that is during the tribulation, "shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." And so a chief prince, Michael, is called. Then notice in the book of Jude, just the little one chapter book before the book of Revelation, and notice how Michael is described in this book, Jude and verse number 9. It says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" And so, Michael the archangel, and by the way, right there in that verse in Jude, is one of only two places in the Bible where you find the word archangel. And so, these passages in Daniel, which refer to Michael as a prince, and the verse in Jude, which refers to him as an archangel, are speaking of him in the same fashion. There are several passages in the New Testament which speak of angelic beings, both good angels and fallen angels, as principalities. You find it in Romans chapter 8, for example, in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Colossians. Now, you may not be interested in this, but you may. The Greek word translated principalities is the word arche, the very same word as the prefix arch in archangel. So, the archangel and the prince or principality is the same. It speaks of the highly exalted rank of this angelic entity. It means that he is either the highest ranking angel or one of the highest ranking angels. The Bible teaches that the angelic realm has angels of varying ranks, with some being greater and more powerful than others, and one of the most powerful, and possibly the most powerful, is Michael. Hence, he's the archangel, a chief prince. There have been, through the ages, various ideas set forth about archangels. The ancient Jewish tradition says that there are seven archangels. Some have thought that the three angels that are named in the Bible were three archangels. In fact, I think Brother Hall used to believe that. He doesn't believe it anymore, but I think he used to believe that. But by the way, my grandson, who's in Poland, he said that his squad leader is Brother Hall's great nephew. I thought that was interesting. But anyway, some have thought that the three angels that are named in the Bible, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, were three archangels, and that each of these was in charge of one-third of the angels. Now, these things could be true, and there is some evidence in the Bible that there may be more than one archangel, but the only one that is specifically referred to as an archangel in the Bible is this fellow Michael. Number three, you with me? Third, he is presented as functioning specifically on behalf of the people of Israel. Now, go back again to the book of Daniel, or you may still be there like I am. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 21, the angel says to Daniel, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael," notice, "your prince." Well, who's he talking to? He's talking to Daniel. Who are Daniel's people? The people of Israel. Chapter 12, verse 1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people." Again, talking to Daniel. And so he has this connection on behalf of the people of Israel. In Revelation chapter 12, the context and setting of the passage, telling of the war between Michael and his angels on the one hand and the devil and his angels on the other hand, the setting of it has to do with Israel. And so Michael is the angelic protector of the destiny of Israel. Number four, he is presented as a warrior angel. Every time we see Michael by name in the Bible, it's in connection with angelic warfare. In Daniel chapter 10, he's performing battle against this demonic entity so that another angel could get through the demonic opposition with the answer to Daniel's prayer. In Daniel chapter 12, the prophecy of Michael standing up for Israel during the tribulation period, that is, standing up on behalf of Israel to do battle for them. In the book of Jude, you see him disputing with Satan for the body of Moses. Revelation 12, he's doing battle against the devil and his angels. So he's presented in the Bible as a warrior angel. And number five, he leads other angels. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, Michael and his angels. As a warrior angel, he leads other angels in battle against the devil and his angels. And so then, a personage revealed. Did you get all that? I'm sure you can quote it back to me, huh? Secondly, a possibility declared. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. great passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And you might be interested to know that it is thought that 1 and 2 Thessalonians were the first epistles that Paul wrote. Now, they don't come first. They're not given in the order in which he wrote them in the arrangement in our Bible. But it is thought that 1 and 2 Thessalonians were the first epistles that Paul wrote. A possibility declared, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, this rapture passage says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So in telling about the rapture, this verse says that it will occur with the voice of the archangel. Now, as we mentioned earlier, the only angelic entity that is specifically referred to as an archangel in the Bible is Michael, Jude verse 9, Michael the archangel. Is this archangel whose voice will be heard at the rapture? Speaking of Michael, maybe. He's the only one called an archangel in the Bible. But many Bible students believe that the archangel connected with the rapture is not Michael, but Gabriel. Now, follow me here. While only Michael is specifically called an archangel in the Bible, there are some indications that there may be others beside Michael. For example, Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13 refers to Michael as one of the chief princes, which seems to imply that there are others besides him. So that could be. Then Gabriel is set forth in the Bible as a herald angel. That is, an announcing angel, an angel whose task is to make important announcements and deliver important messages. In Daniel chapters 8 and 9, Gabriel delivers important messages to Daniel. In Luke chapter 1, Gabriel announces the upcoming birth of John the Baptist and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, many and maybe most Bible students believe that Gabriel is an archangel, and as the angel who makes announcements, that he'll be the one to sound his voice announcing the rapture. And now, when I first got saved and started learning all these bus songs, we used to sing a song. I can't remember how it starts. I can't remember the other verses, but I remember the verse that said, "Gabriel, Gabriel, 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 blow your trump, 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 trump. Gabriel, 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 blow your trump, 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 trump. Gabriel, 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 blow your trump, 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 trump. Gabriel, blow your trumpet loud." I can see how impressed you are by that. So the archangel of the rapture may be Gabriel, or it may be Michael. We don't know for sure. I'm just glad that I'm going to be a part of it, whoever the archangel is that makes the announcement. And so, thirdly, a prophecy fulfilled. Go again to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Now, this prophecy speaks of the tribulation period and how that Michael will stand up on behalf of Israel in those days. Revelation chapter 12, the battle between Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels is a battle connected with God's eternal purpose for Israel and has to do with the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. And so, we see in this that the Bible fits together as one harmonious whole, and what is prophesied in the Bible will be fulfilled. You can trust your Bible, provided you got the right kind of Bible. And if you don't know what kind I'm talking about, just ask anybody around here and they'll tell you. Fourthly and finally, a pattern continued. This spiritual battle, of which we're told in Revelation 12, between Michael and his angels on the one hand and the devil and his angels on the other, is simply a continuation of a conflict that has been raging between these two beings for thousands of years. Again, Jude and verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." We see these two entities battling in this verse for the body of Moses. Now, you say, well, why would the devil want Moses' body? Well, probably two reasons. Number one, to make a relic out of it for Israel to worship. I mean, you know, before the Babylonian captivity, Israel was absolutely addicted to idolatry. I mean, you read the Old Testament up to the time that they were taken away to Babylon, they were constantly worshiping Baal and worshiping this one and that one and the other one and all of that. And you remember when the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, I believe it's in Numbers chapter 21, when the snakes started biting the people, and Moses prayed for the Lord to send deliverance, and the Lord said, take a piece of brass and make a serpent out of that piece of brass, like the serpents that are biting the people, then put it on a pole and hold it up and tell the people to look at it, and whoever looks at it will live. Now, it worked there in the wilderness. You remember what happened later on? The people took that brazen serpent and started to worship it. And in the days of good King Hezekiah, in 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4, he took the thing, broke it all to pieces, called it Nehushtan, a piece of brass. Nothing but a piece of brass you people are worshiping. And so that's probably one reason why, if they put that much stock in a piece of brass, if the devil showed up with Moses' body, can you imagine what they would have done? Be as bad as the Catholics. And so that was probably one reason that the devil would like to have Moses' body, to make a relic out of it for Israel to worship. And a second reason, to prevent God from performing the act of resurrection on Moses' body, thereby thwarting God's program. That's probably a reason why the devil would like to have Moses' body. But Michael the archangel, in the power of the Lord, rebuked the devil and defeated him in that contest. Amen. Not in his power, in the power of the Lord. He didn't bring against him a railing. In fact, the scripture says he durst not, he dared not bring against the devil a railing accusation. I mean, he didn't just cuss at the devil. You know, that's what some of us would do. Well, actually, if we saw the devil, we'd probably turn around and run. But at any rate, Michael didn't dare to rebuke the devil or bring a railing accusation against him. He simply said, "The Lord rebuked thee," and the Lord did. And so, in Revelation chapter 12, we come to the very end, just prior to Jesus' return to establish his kingdom on this earth, and this mighty conflict between Michael and the devil is renewed and enlarged in connection with Israel. And again, Michael and his angels defeat the devil and his angels in the power of God. It's good to be on the same side as this mighty and potent representative of the Lord, Michael the Archangel. And I hope you learned something tonight, or at least had some things reinforced that you already knew.
If your head bowed and your eyes closed, you cannot go back to time and place, and you've asked Christ to save you. Didn't talk about that much, but the whole idea of the missing the tribulation is you have to be saved. So if you're not saved, you won't miss the time of the tribulation. You'll go through that if you haven't already died ahead of time. And the problem is, if you've heard the gospel, and you have, if you came to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, you'll not get another opportunity. So if you cannot go back to a time and place where you ask Christ to save you, tonight should be the night you take care of that. We can take God's word and show you simply and quickly out of the Bible how to get saved or born again.